This appears to be Foreman Boyer Donnelly and Representative Larson. And the first matter on the committee's agenda is House Bill 29. And just to announce, we're planning on having a hearing on this bill on Tuesday next week and potentially on Thursday next week also. So that will fulfill our notice requirements. On the notice that's posted and published, it says bill previously heard for next week, so that will include this House Bill 29 also. And that should keep us straight with the clerk's office for that.
What day?
We'll just announce now that it'll be on the calendar for both Tuesday and Thursday next week, and that way we're covered on our notification. The prime sponsor, Representative Larson, is here. Representative Larson, would you like to address the committee?
Sure, I'd like to address the committee with, I think, just a few brief comments and kind of the history of the bill. As many of you may know, this bill has been around, this is the third year now. Last session, it died in the dying moments over in Senate Finance Committee, having gone through the House and having gone through four committees in the Senate. I'd like to give just a little bit of my philosophy, I guess, so that everyone knows where I'm really coming from on this bill. To me, the pari-mutuel wagering bill is more of a economic enhancement or development type bill than it is, quote unquote, gambling legislation. And I'm very sensitive and temperamental, I guess, in relation to anything that would attempt to change that philosophy. The concept that we are presenting here is not going to be a big money maker for the state of Alaska. What we are hoping to do is to better utilize some facilities that we have, especially in the rail belt area, and enhance the local economy by creating a new industry. Where did we get this concept, or where did the idea come from? Well, the idea, of course, of pari-mutuel wagering has been around for a long period of time. The Alaska State Fair in Palmer, in past years, used to sponsor horse racing. At that time, they paid the prizes out of the gate receipts to the racetrack, and they found, of course, that in order to attract any type of quality racing, they had to pay more in prices than they were making. So therefore, they said, unless they can have some type of pari-mutuel wagering that will increase, of course, the revenues, it would be impossible to continue to conduct that racing event. So for a number of years now, hasn't been done. But about 3 years ago, a number of people contacted me in relation to kind of reviving the idea of pari-mutuel wagering. At that time, I said I could support the concept. However, I wasn't going to go about and try to do something unless the people supported the idea. And that the best way to get the people to show their support to the concept was during the municipal October elections to place the concept on the ballot. So we did have this concept placed on the ballot both in the city of Palmer and the city of Wasilla. And I forget the exact percentages now, they're in the information that we have provided to you, but it was basically around 60% in both of the communities favoring the concept of pari-mutuel wagering. So with that in mind then, we did introduce a bill having to do with the creation of a racing commission to provide for pari-mutuel wagering in Alaska. The bill, from the time in which it was first introduced until you see it today, has gone through 73 amendments. Each of the amendments, I think, made a good bill a little bit better. And I think most of the amendments that were added also, of course, reinforce the philosophy that I hope to bring forth in this bill, and once again, that it's not a gambling bill, that it's an economic development bill. Many of the amendments had to do with background investigations of the commission members themselves, from the jockeys to the owners to the concessionaires. Before anyone can receive a permit or a license to operate anything under this bill having to do with parimutuel wagering, or a concession that would take place in the area in which parimutuel wagering is being conducted, has to go through a very strict background investigation. And for that reason, you can see the first year's fiscal note is a fiscal note that requires more general fund dollars than what the bill would generate for the state of Alaska. I think it's about $17,000-$18,000 difference. But I feel that that's very important, because we want to make sure that parimutuel wagering does not get off on the wrong foot, but gets off on a foot where everyone can say that it's being operated soundly, safely, and fully within the law. I could go on into the specifics of the different parts of the bill if you'd like, Mr. Chairman, but basically what I would like to request today, because we have had some suggestions from the department as to changing certain provisions of the bill that will enable them to probably provide the unification of services in which they're providing now. And hopefully I'd like to investigate that in relation to doing it cheaper. I would ask, of course, that you take any hearing, of course, that anyone would like to give on the bill today, but that I be given an opportunity to work with the folks and see what their suggestions are, and then come back to the committee at your earliest convenience, either with a sponsor substitute, or if we get cramped for time, to discuss with you a committee substitute, so that we can hopefully accomplish what everyone wants here in relation to the bill. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Okay. Any questions from the committee members? Representative Boyd?
Just a brief one. The bill now is the same bill that we voted for on the floor last year, or as it matured through the Senate process?
No, it matured through the Senate process. It changed from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Commerce. We took out the provision having to do with dog team racing and so forth.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly. Any other questions? The record should reflect we've been there by Representative Sponholt. Representative Larson, did you want to just join us here at the table?
Sure.
Thank you. Empty seat there. And I understand there's only one person signed up to testify from the Department of Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Bush, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Commerce. As Representative Larson mentioned yesterday, we met with his office and his staff to discuss a possible 74th, I believe, or 75th amendment to this bill, from what I just heard, that would provide an administrative process in the department that would simplify our administration of this program, as well as a second program that is coming over to us pursuant to a recent executive order that I believe this committee, in fact, is going to be hearing in the next week or so. Executive Order 74, which transfers games of chance and contests of skill to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, effective July 1 of this year, from the Department of Revenue. Because that program is coming over to us and we have no real administrative place to put it in the Department of Commerce, it doesn't really fit under any of the traditional roles that the Department of Commerce has held in this state, and we don't have any established division to handle that. What we are in fact planning to do at the moment, for your information, is to place it in the Division of Occupational Licensing. However, Games of Chance and Skill really is not similar to what has traditionally been thought of as occupational licensing regulation. We then saw this bill and recognized the possibility. This bill also, as you have heard, would place a racing commission in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. We thought that that it seemed logical at that point to change, perhaps change this bill, consider changing this bill to create what we would call a gaming commission, or propose to call a gaming commission, and then place both of those programs under one entity. The amendment that we propose, one other sort of background point. In 1990, you probably have heard there is an initiative on the ballot that has already been approved by the Lieutenant Governor to be on the 1990 ballot. They had enough signatures and the initiative is ready to go to create an Alaska Gaming Commission. So it's subject, of course, as all of these are, to if the legislature acts in the interim and supersedes the purpose of the initiative, then the initiative is taken off the ballot. So given all those factors, we thought that it might be appropriate at this time to amend this particular piece of legislation quite simply to create a gaming commission that would be able to administer both the parimutuel betting racehorse regulation and games of chance and skill in one centralized agency, the gaming commission. I can take the committee through. I have sort of sketched out what changes it would entail in the bill from our perspective, and it would only take a few minutes to tell the committee about them. They're really quite simple. We literally took what the bill had said before, and every place it said racing, we put in the word gaming instead of racing, and then we added to the duties and responsibilities of that commission the games of chance and skill as one of the additional regulation of games of chance and skill as an extra duty. And then, and this is not, as I say, it's not a proposal. It's only our proposed amendment. It hasn't actually been put into any formal document yet. But I do have that available for the committee. And if it's the will of the committee or the sponsor to do that amendment, I have prepared a rough draft that can be used by the drafters.
I'm curious about the initiative. Is that all the initiative does is create a gaming commission? Or?
No, actually, that's an interesting question. It goes actually quite a bit further than that. It allows for local option of gambling. And I think that it does raise actually a very interesting question on whether or not the bill, as the department would propose the creation of the Gaming Commission, whether or not that is expansive enough to supersede the proposed legislation or not. I don't have an opinion on that at this time. And that would be something that you could take up with your council, legislative council.
I imagine that there is some court precedent in California these days about conflicting legislative acts and conflicting propositions that was on. I think it's preferable that if there's a commission created that we do it, because usually the initiative process is a somewhat faulty process when it comes to real setting up technical items in the law. Representative Larson, did you have any comment on the proposal from the Department of Commerce?
Well, just in relation to that, from what I understand, I don't have any problem, but I do have a concern. I don't want the bill to be tied up over the argument of whether we're superseding an initiative or not, and or trying to get around an initiative. So I would defer to your counsel on that, Mr. Chairman, having more of a legal background than I have. So,
well, I think one of the first things we do is like to get an opinion from the Lieutenant Governor that if we adopted a gaming commission, possibly that would only nullify part of the initiative and the rest would remain on the ballot. That would be a preferable situation.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, that, in fact, would be preferable from the department standpoint as well, because, once again, as long as the commission is created, we are concerned about additional activities that may get approved by the ballot initiative in 1990 or through legislative action in the next year or two. There are a lot of other ideas floating around out there that are similar. I've heard the lottery has come up in prior years. Historical district gambling has come up in prior years. Those types of activities, there is no real regulatory arm of the state right now that could to place those, and we are concerned that they're going to be placed piecemeal within the Department of Commerce, and we just don't have any way to deal with them, and we'd like to have a unified entity at least in existence.
OK.
Okay. Representative Boyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't looked at the executive order yet, and so I'm not sure I know what, in fact, I don't know what's being transferred over as far as personal services, but there was at least one enforcement position in the Department of Revenue's budget. What is coming over in the transfer?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. I don't have the exact statistics on it. It is going to be handled, as I understand it, through a budget amendment in March. There is an entire budget of about $325,000 comes to mind or something in that. And seven people coming from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Commerce. And it's just a simple transfer of the program and the personnel behind it. And what our proposed CS would do would literally take that same group of people and transfer them to the commission as staff for the commission.
Okay.
Any further questions for the witness?
Well, I just have a question. I mean, I'm perhaps this follows along with Representative Larson's concerns that we do already have an initiative on the ballot. It's going to, I think, create a certain amount of confusion. We might be able to understand it here in the legislature, but the voter may not in terms of what's happening. It seemed to me it would be a lot cleaner just to either deal with this bill as it is and then do something else to form a gaming commission. I think that would separate the issues and make them very clear.
We are concerned that there would be multiple commissions created. That's what one of our concerns. We would prefer to have one single commission. And this is a small state. Relatively small activities being created. I mean, as Representative Larson discussed, at the moment we're looking at essentially one or two different areas that would be interested in horse racing at the moment. The department is concerned that there would be multiple commissions, more commissions created in our department that are sort of duplicative, and you end up with extra bureaucracies and extra staff for each one. And we would think that there are economies of scale involved here, where if you create one commission with one staff, you can handle all of these activities.
I'm not arguing with having just one commission. I think that's a good idea. And all that I'm saying is I'm just questioning the mechanism in order just to keep things. I mean, we could do that some other way and leave this bill alone. And I know it has gone through a lot of revisions, and it would just seem to be simpler to do it that way.
Chairman, to the chair. I believe I've perhaps made it sound like a more complicated mechanism than it really is. The actual amendments we're proposing are quite simple. And I concur with Representative Larson that I want to keep it that way. I mean, the department is not interested in opening this bill up as a gambling bill, and is not interested in opening this bill up as a copy of the initiative. We're not at all interested in that, and in fact, I think we would probably oppose that. At the moment, all we're doing is trying to take, from our administrative standpoint, we have a potential problem coming as of July 1 how to administer Games of Chance and Skill, and we also saw that there's this commission being created that seemed to be a logical place to put this entity and to have the entity regulated, and that we could consolidate the staffs of the two and end up with better service for the money. And so that's all we were suggesting. It wasn't anything further beyond that. And I think that from a mechanism standpoint, this is the only mechanism on the table right now to do that. Certainly, we could sponsor another bill another option the legislature could consider would be another bill that creates a gaming commission and then says that the racing commission is repealed or dissolved or something and the responsibility is turned over. But it seems simpler to do it all in one.
Representative Larson?
Yes, I very much appreciate Representative Collins' concern there, and what I would like to do, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, is to work with yourself and Jeff in the Lieutenant Governor's office to see if we can address the concern of whether what's being proposed, if that would supersede the initiative or not, so that we could have complete information to bring back to the committee and then make the decision whether going with the bill the way it is, or whether we can help facilitate the concerns that the department have within the bill. But without the Lieutenant Governor's opinion on that, we just don't know. So if we can work and get that, bring it back to the committee as soon as possible.
Okay, Representative Boyer, then Representative Greenberg.
I was just going to say, I think, yeah, if you can determine that, whether or not it affects the initiative in part or in whole or whatever, but put that issue behind us. This makes the most sense to move ahead. In fact, last year in finance, when this bill came through, we did in fact discuss that, but given the sponsor's interest, that was not done then. But the whole area of, as this committee well knows, I mean, we spent months, it seems like, on the issues surrounding gaming last year. I mean, gaming is big business in this state. We don't have a real effective mechanism for managing the nonprofit gaming activities in the state, and it's big business. And I think it's time, given the nature, and we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of big business, that we have a commission that takes a look at it. So I supported it last year. It didn't happen. It wasn't the direction we chose to take, but I think that we can deal with this other issue of the initiative, that it makes good sense to go ahead and deal with it this way.
Representative Greenberg?
Yeah, while you're working on this, my staff has made a number of what appear to be very good comments here.
Okay.
Amendments as well.
Sure. Any further questions for the witness? Seeing none, Mr. Gravel stepped out. I think he signed up to testify.
Mr. Gravel, would you like to testify?
Yes.
I have some questions.
You want me to call back the witness?
Yeah, Jeff, I think maybe so. If you can look at the bill here, on law page 1, lines 16 through 18. And these are fairly small points, but I'm sort of figuring that you may have some, maybe the person who was around to answer these. Are there people who are state residents, as required on line 22, who have experience in the regulation, supervision, or conduct of paramutual waging or horse racing? Because they're really, we've never had any paramutual wagering in this state unless there happens to be a racing commissioner from Kentucky who came up to locate here. We're not likely to have one. And there's been a little bit of horse racing in the valley, but not much. I mean, certainly not enough to really have a high-powered person. Should we be a little more flexible with that report?
Representative Larson, did you want to answer?
Yeah, I had the same question. And the answer I got was that we have quite a few people in Alaska who have had prior experience in paramutual wagering.
I knew that was good. That's not what I don't mean if you're better when you go to the track.
No, in the management end of it, I'm representative. Because I was concerned too. We never had it in Alaska. How can we expect anyone to have experience? But the meeting I brought it up there, there were at least three people who had prior experience in other states in the relation of not betting, but being on the other end of it.
I think, just very respectfully, it may be wise to be able to pick from a pool of four from three Alaskan. Right? I think we should consider giving the administration a little
I've got no problem with giving the governor complete discretion as to who the commission members will be. This particular definition was not mine. It was one of the amendments.
I see.
And as one of the amendments, I asked the same question as you're now asking.
Okay. I am sort of going through just giving you some food for thought, since Andy Hemingway, who's a legislative assistant.
Representative Grubin, on this, I think it's pretty clear we're going to have to put this in some sort of subcommittee. Maybe we could do this in the subcommittee process because we'll have Representative Larson's staff there.
Okay. Do you want me to go through any of my comments at all?
If you think
I think these are some things that people may think about. I won't go through them in detail.
Okay.
On page 1, line 26, apparently 0540-200, there's no such statute. I'm not sure what, and since we have the Department of Law here, might be able to take a look at that. Also, I won't do that. I'll do this later. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further questions for the witness?
Mr. Graber, Mr. Testa.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mitch Bravo. I'm the lobbyist for the Alaska Charitable Gaming Association, an industry that has, or an association that has operators and distributors with businesses in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Ketchikan, Juneau, and lots of the smaller communities around the state. First of all, I'd like to apologize for my casual attire. I just learned of this amendment about 25 minutes ago and scurried down here to just make some brief comments to you. Second one is I was glad to discover after speaking with the finance chairman that the proposed amendment to put the nonprofit part of gaming with the for-profit gaming was not the finance chairman's idea, but rather the department's idea. I obviously have not had a chance to speak with members of my association, but my initial reaction is that that may not be as logical as the department initially presented it to be, because from my familiarity with charitable gaming, there is a big distinction between charitable gaming in this state and gaming for profit. And I think that's borne out by the ballot initiative the church is talking about. What the ballot initiative says, in effect, is notwithstanding all the charitable gaming laws in the state, and we're going to leave those alone, and we're going to let those be regulated the way that they're regulating, we're going to try and authorize gaming for profit in the state. And so the people that put together that proposal do make a distinction, and a very clear distinction, between charitable gaming in the state and gaming for profit. And I realize the problem that the department has in that they don't have any place to put this program, and my people desperately want a place to reside, because we're in the process of working with a brand new 35-page piece of legislation that passed last year, the Charitable Gaming Reform Act, which some of you worked very diligently on and are very familiar with. And in sort of a difficult situation of working with one department who now knows that it's not going to have that piece of legislation come July 1. However, that department's responsible for promulgating regulations pursuant to that piece of legislation, and probably will come up with anywhere from 50 to 100 pages of regulations that will affect the industry. And so the quicker we get a place to reside where we know who to report to and who to work with, we'll be very happy. But I would suggest that you take a real hard, close look at charitable gaming on the one hand and gaming for profit on the other hand, and ask yourself if indeed they should reside under the same umbrella. And I think that the department's concern about several commissions could be met by having the gaming for profit enterprises under one commission, and I don't think would have a problem with a nonprofit gaming commission. But I think there may be, they're just two different, it's apples and oranges. And I would like to work with the subcommittee and work with Representative Larson and the department. But I think to expedite this bill, you may want to take care of charitable gaming in a completely different piece of legislation rather than tying this bill down with a completely different industry that statewide has 1,600 organizations participating in it, and with gross revenues, I think the department estimated last year, over $100 million. So my comments are very briefly that this is the first time we've heard about this, and I would like to check with my people, but initially we have some concerns that the new department who's in charge of the program may not understand that there's a big distinction between charitable and for-profit gaming. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for the witness? Okay, thank you, Mr. Gravel. Well, what I'd like to do at this point is kind of throw a question out to the committee, and I'd like to leave it up to the committee. I really see two options. We can go into a subcommittee process and look into the option of expanding this to include a gaming commission. or we can go into a subcommittee process and just focus on the racing commission proposal itself. And if there's some consensus here, it'd certainly be advantageous before we went to the subcommittee process what the thinking of the committee was as to that. By doing the first keeping and looking at the expansion, we maintain both options. But if the committee wants to limit that and expedite the process, we can go into a subcommittee and just look at the racing commission, I suppose. Okay, Boyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would prefer leaving the options as wide open as possible at this time. And having Mr. Gravo check with his organization, investigating any other questions with the Lieutenant Governor's office, but leaving things open at this point, and you may find that it's by necessity narrowed by some of the responses you get. So that's my preference.
And leave it up to the subcommittee and what they come back and propose to the full committee, whether they just go with a narrow bill, a racing bill, or to go with an expanded bill.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. My gut feeling is that I would tend to favor leaving it narrow if it would just be the racing. I'm not at all certain how popular that initiative is going to be, for one thing. And number two, I'm concerned about other aspects of the question of horse racing. Not that I disfavor, because I do favor the bill going forward. But when I say concerned, I think that a racing commission has to be concerned about things other than gambling. For example, the safety of the animals and the adequate facilities and this sort of thing. And there are other things that are quite different in horse racing than other aspects of gambling and gaming. And I don't have a problem with leaving the options open at this point, but my inclination is to leave this commission the way it is for the reasons I've expressed, and also because the bill has been around and gotten a lot of work and is much farther along than any other provision. And ultimately, the state may adopt a gaming commission concept with this as a subcommission or something else. But I am concerned, I'm very concerned about the safety of the animals and this sort of a thing. That is quite different than other gaming issues. And I want to, that's where I'm coming from on this bill, too, because I want to see those animals kept safe and this sort of thing.
Well,
not dumped up and stuff.
It's my feeling, excuse me, so apologies. I'd like to get some focus before we start to work on it, just to save us the time. Maybe we do a lot of work and then find out we're just spinning our wheels. So, and if it's at all possible today, I'd just like to get this guidance from the committee. And it maybe the decision today is we'd like to take another couple of days and think about which direction we want to go, and that's okay too. But before I started subcommittee work, I'd sure like to get a feeling from everybody where they'd like us to go. Representative Collins?
And I would say that I would just agree with the Representative Broomberg, and that I do think it we should keep it as a narrow issue. I think that there are lots of other issues that come up when you're talking about a gaming commission, and they're really two different things. And I think it would really be more appropriate to keep them separate. I understand the department's concern, and I think we certainly should do whatever we can to accommodate that. But I really think that even though there are a lot of similarity with, say, a game commission, and then having a, you know, this particular commission, that there are significant differences that need to be dealt with separately, and I would prefer to keep them separate.
Any members of the committee express an opinion?
I think the same thing. I would encourage us to keep the focus of that commission and narrowed on horse racing, not getting into the rest of it, although I'm going to be a commission attacker this year also, because I see that as a place to reducing money in our state budget. You know, as we're talking about multiple commissions, I think in this case it's a volatile enough issue that I'd encourage us to leave it anymore.
Representative Boyer, did you feel really strongly about that? I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel here. Like,
yeah, I don't feel very strongly about the issue, but I mean, there's nothing nothing terribly complex about this. It's done. I mean, the representatives, the sponsors' backup indicates there are 30-plus states that have this particular kind of gaming, and many of those states have gaming, a statewide approach to gaming in their state. They are controlled by a centralized gaming commission that has, you know, expertise for different kinds of functions. So, I mean, it's nothing. We would not be doing something so terribly complex that isn't easily adapted from other states. I just think, you know, it's pushing the issue that I know we're going to be dealing with in the very, I think, very near future. It's just bringing it in a little closer while we're dealing with it, with this particular issue. But I don't feel strongly about it. It's the will of the committee to move this bill and keep it narrow, and the interest and will of the sponsor, I certainly not going to stand in the way.
Well, Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, I am very concerned about what Mr. Bravo says, and I think that we need to deal with that. And I don't mean that we shouldn't deal with that and deal with it quickly. I'm just not sure this is the train that I would support on that. Maybe ultimately these will be melded or something. I just, as Representative Copeland responded, saying, think maybe we should look at this incrementally.
Okay, well, I'm inclined to sort of go into a subcommittee process with the focus being on the Racing Commission. And, of course, everybody's entitled to make amendments when we have the final bill before us or whatever we come up with. But to come up with any changes we need to facilitate the racing and move forward with that. Representative Larson?
Yeah, my only comment is I wonder if we can just defer till maybe next Tuesday of making the choice. And that way, we can explore with the Lieutenant Governor, we can explore with the Department, and maybe I'll be better able to make some recommendations or to bring information to the committee at that time.
Yeah, I think that's a good proposal. I think this is good, too, because we've articulated the issues that are before us and we've kind of got a feel for where we want to go. So I'll be certain we'll just hold the bill over until that time then and hear from your comments on your recommendation.
Just one request. And I know that there are provisions concerning veterinarians. I would just request that staff or my staff or somebody get a copy of this to the state then, make sure that the animals are doing that.
Representative Grunberg, could you have your staff get together directly with the sponsor staff on some of your technical comments?
Yeah,
so maybe we can clear some of those up. Maybe they've already been come up in the 75 other amendments and before we have the full committee consider.
We'll do it now.
Great. No, she didn't indicate. You didn't have any particular comments?
No, I think I'd rather learn a little more.
We'll chew on it till Tuesday. Okay.
When I'm ready, you'll hear my opinion.
All right. Well, that's the intent of the chair. Then we do have we have already noticed at the beginning of the meeting that we are bringing it back on Tuesday, so we're on record. And as Bill's previously heard, we'll be bringing it up on Tuesday for comments by the sponsor, and we'll be we'll try to post a projected time. Is there any further public testimony on this particular proposed piece of legislation? Okay, if there isn't, then we're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. Thank you, Representative Larson.
Thank you. Thanks,
members. I just wanted to call the committee's attention to the proposed agenda for next Tuesday. It's rather ambitious. We had three or four items we felt were very uncontroversial, and we thought we'd just list them up on the calendar and see if we could have some success. Push them on their merry way, but I really appreciate it if the committee members take the opportunity to look at those items. There's an elevator safety standards, which is simply updating from five-year-old code to the most recent code.
Could I get a copy of this agenda?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do we have extra copies of the agenda we can pass out to the committee members?
I'll give them copies.
Okay. Yeah, we usually have a bill file
after
for
today.
You.
You probably will.
The second is the executive order that transfers the functions of gaming to the Department of Commerce from the Department of Revenue. It's just whether or not we want to object to it. I didn't think there'd be much controversy in just not having an objection to that executive order.
But, you know, I mean, given the discussion today, though, it may become central to this other the other issue with the Fair Mutual Racing Commission.
Well, yeah, it's good you raise that, but I think to dichotomize between the two, this is, either way, if we create these commissions, they would be under one department or the other. This just would say what department they would eventually end up under.
Right.
So I think it's pretty non-controversial.
And one other thing, too, that caused me some concern. If there are, quote, 75 to 100 pages of regulations written by Department A for a subject that's going to be immediately transferred to Department B, that may cause unnecessary duplication of effort and cause some regulations to be promulgated that are quickly withdrawn, amended, rescinded, or modified to be redundant.
Well, this is good, because this is what I'm looking for, is because I don't want to overtax us that day, and if there's something that's going to
come up... In line
up,
with the Lehman theory, of looking closely at boards.
Because that'll assist me as chair, knowing those kind of concerns will assist me as chair, knowing how to schedule these and how to play.
Sure. I have a question on the elevator station. Mm-hmm. It seems to me as you will recall, this is a subject we dealt with in the 14th legislature. Every time they revise the elevator standards, we have to have a bill. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, and this may be something to think about over the weekend, whether we can amend that statute to say the latest edition of elevators, because I'm assuming that nobody is going to want to have unsafe elevators. That we would could make this the last elevator bill, unless they do something draconian in future codes or something. You know.
I think this might be one that we could do that with. The committee should be aware that there's been proposals before that we automatically adopt all these type of codes, heating codes, plumbing codes, et cetera, et cetera. Some of them I have real concerns about, because some of the codes are not always appropriate for our particular geographical climatic conditions here. So it's a good idea to have them reviewed. Elevator code doesn't seem to be one of those that logically fall under that argument. So it might be a good idea.
All those reservations and they still get stuck, right?
Yeah.
Make it a crime to stay.
The other one, House Bill 61, is just changing the name of the Governor's Committee on Employment and Handicapped, I think, to the disabled, or disabled, yeah, to the handicapped.
From handicapped to disabled, it also makes the date of the disabled week coincide with the federal date, the same federal, as the only changes.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought we could get through that one pretty quick. The other one is the bill that was passed by the House, which is the committee bill it's called the FOB Alaska bill, that just would state that when they issue contracts, unless they have a good reason otherwise, they should designate Alaska as the delivery point. Then for 3:30, I set the Correctional Industries Commission bill. This is a bill that passed the House last year and was diving. In fact, I think it was the next bill on the agenda in Senate rules before the Senate adjourned last year. And finally, to come back, if we're out of subcommittee by then, I wanted to talk a little bit to you about that, Representative Boyer, to come back to Representative Swackhammer's HB 37. So what I'm going to do is take a look at this, have staff talk to somebody over there about that issue you've raised, Representative Greenberg, about Executive Order 74, and if it looks like the thing that we're going to have a long discussion about it, I may just postpone that.
I was going to say, if I was a betting man, I would not bet that we would finish four bills in a half hour.
Okay, well, I think the other three we could do, but if Executive Order 74 is going to raise that kind of logistical issue, you might see me just postpone it on the calendar on Tuesday. Representative Boyer, on House Bill 37, you chair of the subcommittee now, and your staff, Nancy, is here to brief you on that.
We're meeting today at 4:30 with Representative Swackhammer and his working group. Focus today is not going to be the insurance provision, but it's the third of three meetings that they've had on focusing on the bill. So it's the working group has been continuing to kind of work this issue over. We will focus before our meeting on Tuesday on the insurance provisions.
Okay. Do you think Tuesday is reasonable to leave it on the calendar here? Or do you think I should maybe notice it up for Thursday instead?
It was my impression from talking yesterday with Representative Swethammer that that may be a little too soon.
Okay.
Thursday is perhaps better. He has a sense because he's been working with this issue now for over 2 years and most aggressively for the last 4 months, I guess. It's his sense that it needs to percolate just a bit more,
okay.
And that's what's actually happening.
Yeah, we had to file this today before I had a chance to seek your guidance on this, so I'm going to propose that we probably delete 37 from the calendar, 26, and that'll help us focus what we're going to be working on. And then what I'm going to propose to do is move EO 74 down the bottom of the agenda probably on Tuesday, so we'll try to run through the easier things before we get to that.
But I would say, Mr. Chairman, we probably want to know how these things go. And somewhere around at least 15 minutes ago.
Okay. I think so, too. All right. The only other thing that had come before the committee today, I think, was the proposal that we did do last Tuesday on the APA budget cut bill. Those files in front of the members still?
Yeah, some members have got their files, and we have extra files available.
Oh, okay. I guess you've all been finished with that file already. The question before the committee was there any objection to introducing that legislation? Okay. Hearing no objection, we'll proceed to file this committee legislation. And that's all that I had. Does anybody else have any matters to come before the committee? Representative Lehman.
I just want to make sure that when we schedule it, subcommittee, I'm on that. I'm going to be out of town until Sunday night. I don't know when you're coming back.
I'll be back Monday morning.
Okay, but if we can schedule it sometime, you can work with my office on my schedule. If we're going to do it on Monday.
Okay.
Well, the members of the subcommittee are Representative Boyer, you're chairing, and yourself, and Representative Group. Representative Group.
Now we're going to have the Anchorage hearing tomorrow.
That's correct.
Okay.
We will be teleconferencing from Anchorage to this room.
Fine.
Tomorrow.
Okay, I will be here in Montana.
Okay.
I too will be here.
Okay.
Now, is this a listen? Was it listen only? Or will you be able to talk?
We are not going to be taking public testimony from Juneau. However, you can participate. We set it up that way. If you're committee members, you can participate with the meeting. This
we'll be able to fully participate.
Okay.
Good.
When it's listen only, that never applies to us.
I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity.
I'll keep that in mind.
One other just thing to bring up. It seems that in the majority caucus anyway, we were trying to focus a lot more early attention on the budget, kind of the big picture and where we're going because of what the governor's proposed and just generally have people more sensitized to the budget. And I thought, having not served on this committee last year, I don't know whether or not you did this or not, but I know you served on the budget subcommittee for the Department of Commerce in any event. And, you know, it seems to make sense to have this committee and every standing committee talk about the budgets and the budget dynamics involved in the kinds of, in the departments that they generally have jurisdiction over, legislation that they have jurisdiction over. And I think budget overviews, we're doing it best. Committee, for instance, we had the Commissioner of Health and Social Services in two consecutive meetings talking about the overall direction of the department, new initiatives, continued initiatives, and what they meant in the whole budget scheme of things. And I think that if we continue to educate every member to the budget impacts of the departments that they deal with on a daily basis, ours is Commerce and Department of Labor and things like that, that it makes sense. And it all comes together better in March or whenever it is that we start focusing as a body on the budget and just all those initiatives. So I would like to have, because I haven't gone through that budget, either of those budgets in a while, maybe a budget overview by both of those departments if it's something that other members might be interested
in. In line, I would like to do that too. Basically, Department of Commerce and Department of Labor are under this committee. Are there other departments?
No, those are those.
If we could do that, and if we could have them specifically focus on budget issues, like we just in the Judiciary Committee today dealt with the court system and dealt with budget issues there. And at the same time, to ask the commissioners if in their enabling legislation they have any specific amendments they want to see, that would be another thing we should ask them. And number three, the governor has sent around a packet of subjects that they are planning to introduce the various departments. And when we dealt with this in the Judiciary Committee, we, with public safety, we asked them to go over each and every bill conceptually, whether they're still going to introduce it and what it does. And they did it and took about 2 to 5 minutes per bill, and it was real helpful to the committee. And if we could ask those two things too, I'd like to.
Well, this is what I propose, that I contact our Senate colleagues in Labor and Commerce and see if the budget subcommittees have been assigned for Labor and Commerce, to flesh out the membership there. I'm trying to get everybody in the same room to save the commissioners a lot of time so they don't have to go to multiple meetings.
So we're talking about this committee plus the House Finance Subcommittee for Commerce and Economic Development plus the Senate.
Yeah, I'd extend that invitation and see, because
or labor,
and maybe the commissioners are going to have to run through that with all those other legislators at some point in time too. Maybe we can have them do it all at once.
Mr. Chairman, I think that they've gone through, or they are in that process in the House Finance Committee, going through the overviews. And I've sat through enough of those overviews to be totally bored to death by them. And I was not thinking so much as kind of here's what we are and here's what we do, but a more detailed approach to the actual programs, because when we start trying to prioritize spending in this state, as you know, Representative Lehman has said, he's interested in going to focus some attention on commissions. All you know, we all need to have a better understanding of how the departments function and what kinds of things are constitutionally required of those various departments, what are discretionary, what are a result or what have come around as a result of legislation, those types of things, so that we start having to make those budget priorities, have to have a good sense of that. And I've sat through enough of those budget overview meetings over the years and still never had a clear understanding sometimes of the prioritization of programs. And maybe when you ask them for their overview, you have them focus on those functions of the department which are constitutionally mandated, those which are a function of the judiciary through court orders, and those which are clearly statutory or discretionary. And maybe if they propose their budget and their department's functions in that way, it would make more sense.
It raises an interesting question, though. We do have an official subcommittee out there that's their responsibility, the budget subcommittee. If we get into budget hearings here, we may have a protocol and
I'm not suggesting we get into the nitty-gritties of. I think that this year first in many years, we're going to have to, as a body, work more closely together to make some tough choices. And I'd like to see us just educated, because we've all sat in caucuses in March when people are scratching their heads and get frustrated with the Finance Committee because they see the Finance Committee moving in a way that they're not up to speed with. They don't understand. They don't have the technical background, and bills for or mix oftentimes for a lot of resentment amongst members that we can avoid. And I don't mean to step on their toes. I think you could let them know that this is the approach we're taking. It's happening, as I said, in some other committees. I see them doing it, and it doesn't seem to have caused any heartburn or problems. I think it makes good sense just to have us all better educated.
There may be a reason why in this case.
Maybe.
I know the Speaker's interested in the Standing Committee's doing this. He's spoken with me about it. And this is exactly what he would like us to do. And I think it's very doable.
Representative Collins?
I think I kind of see where Representative Boyer is coming from. And I think that, I know it sounds like a corny word, but very often when I see being on a committee is that the department does their budget in terms of what they want to do and what they think is necessary and what they think is important. We as a committee either initiate or pass legislation that we think is important and we want to see happening. And by the time you get the two together, you've got this proliferation of activity and usually expense associated with it. And I think kind of what he's talking about, maybe I'm, but it's kind of a cooperative process where we kind of work with the department to understand what they're doing and try to bring those two things together to reduce some of the work and reduce perhaps some of the cost. I think that would be a real good idea.
Yes, I thought what I understood you saying, Representative Boyer, was that we need more of a programmatic understanding of what the departments were doing so that we would be able to deal with the finances, but that's really a programmatic understanding that you're looking for us to have more handle of, which shouldn't really conflict.
Okay. Well, what we'll try to do is then offer to do them jointly with the Senate, see if we can do that with the Senate Labor and Commerce. And try to set something like that up.
I'm
I'm sure willing to give this a try. My thinking about this is, though, from serving on that subcommittee for 2 years, with the Department of Commerce, at least, there are so many programs and so many divisions. It is such a complicated budget, including the APA provisions, that the subcommittee hearings alone went on for days and days and days and days, and we were in like 6 hour subcommittee meetings. It's going to be a challenge just to try to focus in our understanding about how their budget works, so we're not totally running parallel to that budget subcommittee. And there's always the option for all of us to attend the budget subcommittee meetings. And I'd really appreciate if you all would think about it and see if you have any suggestions on how I can help focus that for you.
How I see it working is that we ask them specifically to come in and take us through their budget on a programmatic basis, and the focus would be on those functions that are constitutionally mandated. Like my department, Health and Social Services, for instance, they've got some clear things that the Constitution says. I mean, they've got this broad umbrella of protecting the public health, and then they've got a whole bunch of things that fall out from that. Mm-hmm. And so they can just drag you through those things, so you know what the highest constitutional priority programs are of that department, because I think at some point that's the discussion we will have in our caucuses. What are the things that we have to provide? What are the things that the courts say we have to provide, which are really kind of the same thing almost at that point, the highest law on the land? And then what are those things which we have to provide by federal, either matching requirements or mandates, like in the Department of Law, where we can't ignore the whole unemployment compensation package, and that's almost totally, I guess, funded by federal funds, but we do have a small participation in that. We need to understand those kinds of things so that when we are making the larger budget decisions, or in a group, those budget decisions, that we know the things which are constitutionally required are mandated by courts, federal match, and then the last, which are the statutory things, because those I think we'll see get peeled off when we really start making tough budget decisions. That's how I would see it structured, and I think you can walk through that kind of a briefing in about an hour and a half on group call.
How about if this, we could send a letter and say that we would like to see the commissioners address, not just give us an overview of their departments, but rather to give us an overview of their priorities based on constitutionally mandated programs, court mandated programs, federally required programs, statutory requirements, programs that they're optionally performing now, and any of the mandated, and identify for us any of the mandated programs they're not currently performing.
Right. What I think you'll get from that too is a keen sense of let's take commerce, and let's say that there is a caucus decision to eliminate all of our energy programs. We'll have some sense, or hopefully have some sense, of what needs to be repealed in statute. What statutes we have to repeal in order to affect that broader public issue. And of course those bills would then be probably coming before this committee, just as an example. So that's really what I'm trying to do, is put the session, the next 100 and however many days are left here, into some kind of longer understanding perspective, and have the budget kind of as an idea in the back of my mind, that's what drives these other policies and the legislation which may be coming before the committee.
Okay. Any other comments or any other management to come before the committee? We'll try to set this up. If there are none, then it's 10 minutes after 4 and the meeting's adjourned.